Log Talk Radio.
And in those days, there were giants in the land, and the sons of the angels of God looked upon the daughters of men and found them fair, and took of them wives, and their sons became of old great men of renown. So they have been mixing with us on a genetic level since the time of Enoch and Ezekiel's will.
Here on Earth, we're intrigued by the sun, moon, and stars, and imagine there's got to be planets like ours. Some conceive of a face on the surface of Mars, so in need of a meaning and purpose we are. That indeed they believe that these might be our gods, or that maybe with time we'll do right and evolve and eventually reach what they seek and then solve all the problems of man. But they really don't know that they fall in the works of our hands, all but just filthy rags. So we travel the lands to dig up our pastime elapses, and with it are much of the facts. Some imagine that God came in alien craft. They react in this way, they're so desperate for meaning and purpose. But satanic servants, they know that they have evil motives. Am I making you nervous? Ha, I'm just scratching the surface. Signs from Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals. Heed the warning, the message is clear. Heed the warning, the time draws near. See the signs from Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals. He's a warning, the message is clear. He's a warning, the time draws near. In the blink of an eye, all believers will be raptured. Anyone left receives a mark or the capture. This leader will arise, claim his origins are alien, possessed by Satan on the side of the Nephilim. Profess those who left held us back from evolving, and now that they're gone, we'll solve all of Earth's problems. The worship of anyone God will be halted. When evolving to gods and ourselves be exalted, they'll play on these lines, and in time they'll devise and arrive at a plan that will help hypnotize all the ones left behind, the spiritually blind. He's stolen their souls, now he's stealing their minds. It's already started, we're seeing the signs. Just study the word, prophecies all aligned. Now chop off the heads of all those who fight at one Earth, one world. Aren't you excited? The signs from Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals. Heed the warning, the message is clear. Heed the warning, the time draws near. See the signs from Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals. Heed the warning, the message is clear. Heed the warning, the time draws near. Where will you be in the year 2012? Are they casting a spell they're not ready to tell? It's time to reveal what they tried to keep veiled. Pure evil they hail, and they sell it so well. He fell from the heavenly realms where he dwelled, a once beautiful angel that tried to rebel. Expelled from the light into darkness and hell, now a serpent and snake with reptilian scales. He wears a disguise with angelic wings and mimics the truth with a lie so obscene. He always repeats the same thing he told Eve, that you'll be supreme, a king or a queen, that you can evolve to an enlightened being, a god of your own that can do anything. He feeds on our souls with this fraudulent scheme in so many ways, but it's all just the same. See the signs from Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals. Heed the warning, the message is clear. Heed the warning, the time draws near. See the signs from Ezekiel's wheel, when the skies unfold like scrolls and the breaking of seals. Heed the warning, the message is clear. Heed the warning, the time draws near.
Why hide yourself with, you know, creating UFO crafts and things like that? Why that deception if that's indeed what's going on?
The creatures figured out that there was one way that they could frighten mankind, and that is to present themselves as technologically superior beings from physical UFOs.
Why would they want to abduct human beings?
UFO abduction might not be caused by physical occupants, but from creatures living in perhaps what we would call another dimension.
Mm-hmm. Posing as occupants.
Yes, the same type of interfering, harassing, paraphysical creature in every culture worldwide.
Welcome, friends. I'm your host, Zen Garcia. This is Fallen Angels TV, and this is actually a Tuesday broadcast. Wanted to make availability for my friend Tim Clark from End Times Matrix News. He's got some interesting information on this CERN Hadron Collider, Stargate connections, and so I wanted to definitely, make this time available, this slot available, this platform available for him to share his information. He's going to be releasing a book on this topic very shortly, I believe, but I'll let him elaborate. And also, for those that don't know, Tim and Chris, they do a show together on YouTube where they'll live stream called End Times Matrix News, and I would most certainly catch it if you can. It's got a wide variety of interesting hosts and issues and topics, and as far as people that they've interviewed, and so support them in their endeavors. Go to endtimesmatrixnews.com, I believe, is also the website, but I'll get him to elaborate on the details. Tim, are you there, brother?
Yes, I'm here. Does the volume sound okay from the speaker mic here?
Yeah, I think it sounds fine to me. And if anybody has, tells me that it's not, then we can go to the actual handset. But
sure.
I believe it's fine. And so I'll let you know as we go, because it's always different for the listening audience. But anyways, Tim, yeah, if you would, elaborate on the details of your show, your work, your endeavors, where people can go to support you and the listenership, and anything else of interest that you'd like to share, contact information, anything like that.
Okay, well, Chris and I do a show called End Times Matrix News. I moderate the Facebook page of End Times Matrix News. So anybody wants to catch daily coverage over there, it's a Watchman ministry, a Christian ministry. But we are like the alternative fringe of the Christian world, is in the sense that we got the end times events, similar to what Jonathan Kleck and Zen and some of the others talk about. And Chris is really likes to research ancient history, Egyptian, and we tie in a lot of depth into the topics that we're talking about. So we didn't do a lot of interviewing different people, because a lot of our research was so time-consuming that we got involved in just putting out 2 and 3 hour videos just on the material that would dig up every week. And so it got to be, pretty deep on some of those issues. And so the CERN-related material, that actually came about because we collaborated with Anthony Patch, and we wanted to interview him. I had read his first book, Covert Catastrophe, and I thought it was a fascinating read. It's an interesting topic. It's amazing that a machine of this magnitude, the most expensive to date, of course, this ITER.org, this tokamak, is now the most expensive plasma fusion reactor. But of course, who knows? You don't really know what the price tag on these things is, because they've been dumping billions of dollars into this since the 1950s. So we really don't have any idea what it actually costs. But they basically have a blank check on any research that they want to conduct. So Anthony was giving us the particle physics, the quantum physics, and then I basically summarized what we're dealing with here is this CERN project is the elite's project. It's not really to benefit mankind. It's to benefit an agenda that is by the blue bloods, the elites, whoever they call themselves, the ones with the money, right, the black ability, those guys. And so it has kind of a creepy feel to it when you're looking at it for the first time from the outside. And you see this monstrous machine built into 300 feet into the ground, and with a 27-kilometer radius to it, that they run, ion particles around and collide them into each other to approximate what the Big Bang was like at the beginning of of creation, basically. From creation, from a Christian standpoint, God spoke, and when his words went forth, things went forth through his words, his voice. But, of course, the Big Bang, the secular world believes there's a Big Bang, but they can't answer from what. So,
right.
But they want to see if they can get to the fundamental building blocks of creation. They want to work themselves backwards to the smallest particle that they can get to. And so the particles they're dealing with now are the muons, gluons, and there is a pentagram-shaped one that just came out this past couple months ago that's pretty interesting. I forget the exact name of it. But these particles are so small, they're not actually identified or located. They're basically based on probability. So there's a 50% or 53% chance that this supposed particle is in this area, you know, that kind of thing. They can't actually measure it. They can only measure the reactions of something strange going on. So this thing got very interesting to us. We did probably about 15 shows with Anthony in depth, 2-3 hour shows. And
wow.
Yeah, we did a lot of shows. We basically brought the CERN thing onto the alternative Christian arena. We were the ones out there plowing along, and that was kind of our claim to fame as far as getting people to wake up to it. Basically, I see CERN as the giant Swiss Army knife of the Illuminati or the elite. There's so many programs that they have within CERN that deal with different things. It's not just about colliding particles. A lot of it was DNA sequencing. This is, this stuff, when we pointed out Dr. Venter's videos from 2009 and Kurzweil University from those times, you basically saw that they were talking about using artificial intelligence to sequence DNA strings so that the AI could put together so many sequences of viable combinations that humans could never go through, because before that it would have taken humans, you know, so long, and they could only do a few, you know, a few a year or something like that. Now they can do it all day long easily. So
right.
Basically, when they got up to speed, the Kurzweil University, the AI folks working with the CERN, working with this DNA stuff, basically got to the point, if it's living, if it's life, they can create it from the four building blocks using artificial intelligence sequencing equipment, okay? So anything, you want to create a chimera, if it's viable, if it's life, they can create it. So
these
are the things we were dealing with, which is, you know, very crazy kind of stuff. But so where I got interested in this, where our channel shut down abruptly, and a lot of people thought that Anthony was, you know, had been dealt with by the alphabet agencies or something, and so we lost our channel there, and we lost our videos. Luckily, a lot of people had backed them up, and they were, you know, free to put them out wherever they could. The videos that we used to do. Those were the Google Hangouts we were doing, and we were doing that based on the presentations so that we could present material and in a kind of a PowerPoint way so that you could get a kind of reaction. Rather than this, Chris and I had done the speaker programs, and I think we were talking over a lot of people's heads and who aren't necessarily up to speed on some of this stuff.
I can see that.
So being able to get the visual presentations helped us to connect better. And so right now, after that sequence of events where the channel shut down and all that, I was basically trying to write a summary on the CERN project that we had all been involved on, because no one was operating at that time. So I thought I owed it to people to write a summary of what the videos were and the conversations and all that. So, and of course, I couldn't do it from a quantum physics point of view as much as Anthony does. And Anthony is currently working on his third book, Coalescence, which will be fascinating. I kept bugging him, saying that I've been waiting for that book for the last 7 months because of dealing with the quantum entanglement stuff, which I'm really fascinated with. Very interesting things. So whenever he gets done with that, that'll be great. So when he got back on the internet and did some of the bigger shows talking about this material, I decided to stop what I was doing as far as the book as far as CERN. But, you know, when I had gotten into that project, I came out with a whole different perspective on CERN than just the quantum physics. And so that's where we came out with this, through revelation, through divine revelation of, you know, the Lord leads you into interesting things and connects things for you. And then you go, wow, is that really what I think it is? Am I seeing and hearing what I really think I'm hearing? and you go, yes, it does look that way. So the project that Chris and I, we were going to address doing a booklet because books, I like books. I got, you know, walls of books. I read all these books, but I know that a lot of people don't.
Right.
And so that was my, I'm more accommodating the regular folks that need a quick, focused, condensed, visually stimulating kind of a delivery system. So that's why I was talking to Chris about doing this booklet and building it, almost, not comic bookish, but building it around condensed visuals to anchor ideas and concepts so that they can talk about them and pass it around. So this would be a booklet format here, and it's always a challenge to keep it small. And that's right. What I, you know, chiseling away, trying to keep it condensed. So this project, when I got into it and I saw what I was seeing, I went, wow, this is really some seriously profound stuff that the Lord is sharing here. And I'm not a prophet, and I don't call myself a prophet. I'm just a watchman, and, you know, I pray in the Spirit and pray for revelation of the things I'm researching. And the Lord's nice enough to give me some nuggets here and there that really are a treat. And so this one I wanted to pass along to people because the Lord put it on me that I got to communicate this material so other people can grasp the connections. And so basically it's connecting CERN to the Bible, which not you haven't really heard anybody do that too much other than talking about the abyss.
Right.
And just interrupt if you want to ask questions, then that's fine. I can stop.
Well, yeah, no, and I do want to give you, you know, the platform to be able to cover what you're going to want to cover. We're going to do 90 minutes today, and if we need to do a follow-up at some point, most certainly we will do that as well. And we can do, you know, a whole series as well. So don't feel rushed and cover what you want to and say what you want to. And if we have to, you know, schedule numerous shows, we can do that as well. But why don't you talk about first, initially, just kind of the chapters and what you're going to be covering in your book, if you do have a chapter outline for, just to give, you know, the listening audience an idea as to the wide array of what you will be, you know, writing about and covering within the content of that material.
All right. I try to bring everything back to the Bible because at the end of the day, that's really what I want to anchor my stuff to. And
right.
I don't want to get so sci-fi on people that it's just adventures in sci-fi.
Right.
So I want it to be grounded in some biblical basis for what we're doing. So this Cernunnos' box is what I'm calling it, and the Gate of Lucifer. That's the working title for this booklet. And the CERN is called CERN, okay? The official name for CERN is the Center for European research nucléaire, you know, because it's French.
Oh,
so
hey, can you talk about the logo, too, while you're talking, and, you know, the initial about the CERN, but talk about the logo, too, because I think that's very telling as far as, you know, what they're trying to achieve.
Yes, the logo is, when you look at the logo, it's obviously a 666, okay?
Right.
It's the graffiti of the fallen ones graffiti, basically. And and when you look, if you look in the Who Funds CERN and stuff, you'll find the Rothschild Group is in there funding them. So, you know, anytime you run into these guys, you know they're working for the other side, okay?
Right.
But they have a public face, and a lot of these, you know, a lot of people in science aren't necessarily privy to these type of agendas. They just work for people who pay for their projects. This was what came out of Nazi Germany with the compartmentalized scientific research. When you compartmentalize it, you receive your funding, you do your project. You may not know what the whole big picture is, but you've finished your project. And I used to joke that my favorite movie for people out there that connects those dots of what that's like is the Val Kilmer movie Real Genius from the 1980s, if you remember that.
Right.
And
uh-huh.
These guys are building a laser, but they don't know why they're building a laser. They just need to get a certain output. And the guy working with them is building a dish. And they don't know he's building a dish. But then the two of them get together in the end. They said, why do you think you're building a targeting dish?
Right.
And they have it being shot off a B-2 bomber. You know, all their stuff gets confiscated, you know. But mm-hmm. That is compartmentalization. That is the famous Nazi way of not letting the right hand know what the left hand's doing. So
right.
I'm just giving that as an example to give you a visual of what I think that a lot of the people who work on these projects, what happens to them. Years ago, I did articles on the dead astronomers conspiracy stuff. Why are all these physicists and stuff dying? You know, why are
right.
they just showing up assassinated and dead? And you know, and we weren't thinking of CERN back then. But you
uh-huh.
can see that a lot of these high level quantum physics, all this stuff. Astronomical, you know, astrophysics, a lot of these guys started disappearing probably, what, about 4 or 5 years ago? Somewhere
right.
about, yeah,
it
about
seemed,
that time. You remember those?
Yeah, it seemed like one of the links was possibly, or there was some speculation that there was some links to, you know, the whole Vatican, the Lucifer telescope, watching the Return of the Destroyer, or Wormwood Planet X, any, you know, something about that possibility. But yeah, nobody, you know, this wasn't even on anybody's radar, and so it would be interesting to me, you know, if in their background there was connects to CERN and what they are actually trying to achieve. And also, would you answer, do you think that this is technology that the, you know, the fallen angels in ages gone by, even maybe possibly before the flood, they had this kind of a thing, and that they were opening stargates and portals in such manner with, and that this is kind of a humanity's being led to recreate this technology and possibility as it has been done prior, because it does say in the Emerald Tablets talking about how such things were achieved even during Atlantean times.
Yeah, I absolutely believe this is advanced fallen angel technology in the sense that it's fallen angel technology, but it has modern collaborating fallen men or sinful men collaborating, because the veil is still there as far as the, you know, them being on the outside, on the other side. But they whisper through and they possess through the demonic and all these rituals and all the ritual stuff that they do with these people who get inspiration. They get inspiration for these things. If you remember with the Nazi Bell, the Vril Maidens were these channelers that got inspiration, right? So they got these plans from being inspired. So I think you're seeing the same thing with these type of projects, because it's coming from that side. But these scientists are brilliant. Of course they're brilliant, you know. But the point is this mad science? And of course, and my reply, of course, is yes. This is the Mary Shelley Frankenstein model of doing science here. So because of the players you got involved here, you know, so yes, I think CERN is a stripped down modern version of a pyramid, if you want to look at it that way. A pyramid the name pyre means a fire in the middle. So the fire is, the pyramid would draw piezoelectrical frequencies from the earth energy up in a conical way up to the point up there. Dr. Joseph Farrell, I believe, had Giza Death Stars, where he talks about using it as a directed energy weapon, and that possibly some of this planetary destruction that you talk about, Zen, with Rahab or Tiamat, you know, things happening with these directed energy weapons of the fallen angels. Who knows? But CERN definitely has a direct energy weapon component to it, because we talk about the plasma, Birkeland currents, being the amount of energy, they're measured in TeVs, or tera electron volts. And if you want to see this stuff, you can go to anthonypatch.com. He's monitoring what they're putting out. Supposedly between, up to the 13th of this month, they're supposed to shut down after the 13th. So we're kind of watching it up to the 13th because they're bombarding lead right now. And as you know, lead ions is the alchemy, you know, the Hermes Trismegistus, the pill of immortality, or the philosopher's stone. The whole thing of immortality was changing lead to gold, changing man from his base nature to gold or a higher spiritual evolution. So when you're moving this kind of energy, which has not been done before, because these energy levels are way beyond what people are used to seeing, we're just watching and seeing what's going on. And I noticed that, and with Chris, I would love more help from amateur astronomers who are Christian, but I noticed when the Paris talks happened, we just went into that 13th constellation of Ophiuchus, the serpent, the day that they started that. And, of course, Chris and I right now are watching this thing with the unicorn going through the end of December. And the unicorn is a major player in some of the material that we're putting together, this symbol of the unicorn. And so it's very interesting. So, yes, I do believe CERN is a modern-day multi-purpose pyramid technology from the fallen angels and that technology line. So I do think it has. They get a lot of this from that.
Sorry about that. For those that don't know, as far as Ophiuchus, it's the thirteenth house. It's a sign which is not included in the 12 houses of the zodiac, but the sun spends more time in this particular house, in this particular sign, than it does in, the one that is right beside it. But anyways, can you also talk about, as far as the connections to the Bible and biblical context, and so that we can cover that part of it as well, and then we can move into and also what it is that you actually think that they are trying to do. I mean, because it seems like in my interview and discussion with Chris that they're adding all these different chemicals or different, you know, metals and different, and it seems like there's an alchemical base. We know that there's a Stargate component as well. And you said that there's also some connection to they're creating possibly hybrids or something of a genetic DNA type of, you know, so what are all the possibilities of what, you know, that they are trying to actually achieve? And if you have insight.
If you notice Lord of the Rings, right, or you notice the movie Avatar, you notice that they're creating, and I thought Lord of the Rings was interesting because they did it in like a 300-foot hole in the ground where they mixed goblin with orc or whatever they did to make these hybrid super warriors in Lord of the Rings, if you remember. Especially, I think it was the Two Towers.
Yeah,
the Two Towers one would have definitely been the one. And again, the Two Towers is symbolic, right? The Twin Towers, the Two Towers.
Right.
Jacob and Boaz, all that stuff, the 13th pillar, these things, okay? So there's the symbolism in there. The symbolism with Avatar is that you have the shell that can have an indwelling spirit. This is, I think, the feat of the Nebuchadnezzar statue in Daniel, the miry clay and iron.
Right.
The Iron Kingdom, which is this mechanical kind of Holy Roman Empire, still connected, science-based, mechanical type of kingdom, that is blended with this Genesis 6 stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's all built in, if you look big picture, it's all built for the Battle of Armageddon. These dew weapons... everything is supposed to be right there at the battle. You know, everything's supposed to be lined up. This, you know, it sounds outlandish when you talk about it, but, I mean, basically the Lord of the Rings, all these hybrid armies brought together for a battle to meet Jesus as he returns. And, you know, they have their allegiances with the left-hand path humans that follow the left-hand path and the occult, to join together. And I mix a lot of the psychological and movie stuff in with ancient and this, because I have to bridge between the ancient history and what normal people can connect to. Most people raised in this culture are raised visually, raised in a storybook form, raised in on these modern movies. And so if I can link these movies to these topics or aspects of them, it helps them to grasp it, I think. And so, like the Avengers movie,
right?
Tony Stark is a transhumanist. He would be, you know, the Kurzweil of the movie or something. And then you have the super soldier programs from the World War II,
right,
with Captain America. So, and you got those guys. And then you just got the mutants or the hybrids, and then you got the demigods, which are just a combination of Nephilim, you know.
Right.
You know, so you can see that all the same players are involved in this that these old biblical stories talk about, the men of renown, you know, all that stuff. You can see these players that they're just playing it out in a modern script. So what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Well, first, let me comment, and then I'll tell you the question. But yeah, I think you're wise to make metaphorical connections in that way, because, you know, a lot of people understand and even the different layers and levels as far as Marvel, you know, the comic book heroes or Hollywood and with you know, Thor and the Avengers and Captain America and all that, and they can, if you can help them to understand in that way, they totally will get it. Whereas CERN and the topics, stargates, this kind of stuff, for a lot of people, it will be seemingly over, you know, over their head and not make sense to them in any kind of way that way. And so, yeah, I think you're wise to do and make those kind of connections. But anyways, the question that I wanted you to allude to was the biblical connections and also what, you know, what is the aim, what is the goal as far as, and you can break that up if you want to answer the second part first as far as the aim, the goal, what they're trying to achieve, the different aspects to CERN, and then start laying out the biblical side of it from, you know, the scriptural perspective of what also that, you know, they're trying to do and trying to achieve and all that.
Well, I think obviously the main biblical connection that most people have already been able to grasp is the Revelation 9/11 connection, which is the Apollyon being given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, Apollyon is also Apollo, but you have to look where CERN is built. CERN is built over the Temple of Apollo in that area where it's built. So,
which,
and this area is also being connected to the gates of hell, you know. So what are we doing building scientific, because, you know, if you've gone through academia, as I've gone through academia and tons of it, they like to sound scientific and they don't like to bring myth into their stuff, you know, which is any belief system outside of the scientific model. So here they are, they're building this thing in an area of Apollo. They're building it 300 feet down, which is interesting. I think that, to me, the way I look at that is more that it's more like, it's kind of like when these Birkeland currents connect and stuff. I think they have to be below the ground to get the overlap, like the two circles, when you overlap two circles to get the Vesica Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the Vesica Pisces, that section is where the entities can come through.
Right.
So I think that's why the depth into the ground. But they also, you have to look at the ley lines and all that kind of stuff, which I find fascinating. I study, you know, I like the megalithic structures. My background was archaeology, and I seriously, if I could have known about megalithic structures and all that, I would have been gangbusters just studying that stuff. But,
right. One other thing as far as what you're also related, in the Emerald Tablets, it talks about, too, that prior to any of our, you know, the creation of these deep underground bases by any of the governments of the world, that the Atlanteans, or at least the fallen angels, that prior they had already built bases and structures within the interior of the earth, perhaps at a time when it was not conducive as far as life on the surface, or who knows, a global, as far as an ice age or something, even like in that place in Turkey, I forget the name of it, Cappadocia, mm-hmm. where they have the underground, you know, all these structures that were built into the underground that weren't discovered. There's like tunnel systems and huge cities and structures of that nature all over the world, unifying a lot of these places, but that even Phil Schneider talked about how they were already building on top of existing structures. And so who knows, you know, as far as what's already down there and how it, because, you know, even with the, so after the destruction of Atlantis, if they did open Stargate or something of that nature, even if that kind of thing was closed or if it's still open even today, because we see, you know, there's all the anomalies and the things that happen there in the Devil's Triangle or the Bermuda Triangle, even on the other side over there by Japan, and who knows, you know, what is in the interior that is still going on that we don't know about, you know, after the flood of Noah's day, so many civilizations, cities, and structures were swallowed up in mud and debris and muck. What kind of things are even below there, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Noah's, when they had the flood, the fountains coming up from the ground and the coming down from the heavens, this two-way thing, think totally destroyed the original ley line grid that the earth was operating off of and that the fallen angel Nephilim system was having its hive mind or its connections.
Right.
Because if you follow any of the work of the New Agers who are into the sacred sites, the Stonehenge, which I posted yesterday about the blue stones, they found out where the blue stones came from, so I posted that article on Facebook yesterday. If you notice the New Agers who can follow ley lines, visually can see them and stuff like that, it's mm-hmm. interesting that listening to some of these people, they've sat on points and ley lines where they follow the ley line in their mind over to, you know, say from Europe to China, and were able to connect with somebody else on that ley line. And to me, that is the hive mind stuff that they're trying to do with, as we say with the Terminator movie Skynet. They're trying to jack us in instead of us, you know, being in this kind of ley line system, which they can't recreate. They can create a ley line above us through these satellite grids. And
right.
I think
yeah.
when they're doing the, if you notice the chemical spraying, it's done in grids and it's done
right.
in the
yeah.
atmosphere. And
mm-hmm.
I think it connects to this network or matrix kind of network in the air to bounce signals off of to, you know, there's something interesting about it that, you know, I'm still researching, but I'm just
right.
putting that out there for what I'm talking about today.
Yeah.
The original biblical connection that people are making is they're making it the connection with CERN, the portal opening, Apollyon, and they want something to come through this vortex, which, of course, is from the pit, you know.
Right.
So it's interesting. What I connected it to, this is the new material that I connected through prayer and reflecting on this, was I've connected it, which you'll find kind of funny, because I heard you and Jonathan Fleck this past week when you did your shows talking about the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and that, of course, comes from Matthew 16
mm-hmm.
And that parable. And I was going, well, and that is the same parable that is actually connected to understanding and connecting CERN to Jesus. And that is the objective of Cernunnos' box in Lucifer's gate.
Uh-huh. Can you read the scripture if you have it handy? Just so you
sure.
know people. All right, cool.
So I have Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It's basically Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay? Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, now that's significant, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replied, and this is significant, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of, and in the King James here it says Hades, will not overcome it. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So,
interesting.
It is a very interesting section. Caesarea Philippi is, if you research this parable, it is widely believed that Jesus is standing in front of a grotto that's in the backdrop, that's a dedicated cave system, grottos, you know, where they have, they, you know, old pagan religions used to dig into the mountainsides and make little indents and put statues of idols and stuff in there. And people would make pilgrimages to this stuff. And so right behind him, according to tradition of this parable, is the area called Paneas, based off the god Pan. And you have the gates of hell, okay? So when you're reading this verse, he's giving a visual lesson to his disciples with the gates of hell behind him, saying, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And the point is, the two deities associated with the gates of hell there were the goat god Pan and his daddy, Hermes. And if you trace Hermes, Hermes is Mercury in Roman mythology. He has the wings on his, he's a messenger god, right? The messenger god.
Right.
But Hermes also is the god that escorts souls to Hades. He transports them. He escorts them. So Pan is his son, and Hermes is the transport god, and this is the entrance to, like, the gates of hell. But Hermes gets his name from Mount Hermon, if you go back to where this all originally started. So in this area, if you get this in your head, that this whole 200 angel, watcher angel thing that came down in that area, Mount Hermon, and they came down from the mountains, from the spiritual realm into the physical realm to mate with women. And in this area of Caesarea Philippi is this dedicated area to the god Pan and Hermes and this gates of hell thing. And that has a long history of goat sacrifice even before this in that area. This whole area near Mount Hermon, where the UN is now with their outposts, is a very supernatural kind of origin of this fallen angel stuff coming to Earth. And then moving forward with
the giants name. Also. Yeah, the giants also, in the bloodline and lineage of the giants, were also centered in that area, Og of Bashan and all of that.
Right. So in Canaan, when they were coming in there, and Joshua had to go clear them out, and everybody thinks that the God of the Old Testament is an insane, you know, crazy God based on dealing with these, you know, these giants, getting rid of them all, you know. So that's how people used to look at it. But if you understand what Zen's been teaching, and, you know, you understand the seed of the serpent, then you understand there's a reason for things happening that way.
Right.
So this parable is very important, because what you start to see with CERN, and I'll start getting into the gods of CERN. If you know the god Cernunnos, he is a Celtic god, okay? And I'm going to connect to a little bit of modern paganism and modern Wicca, neo-paganism stuff. They basically, neo-paganism has as the male aspect the horned god, and as the female aspect the goddess, okay? So CERN is kind of the Celtic version of the horned god, but he also, Pan is also a horned god too. He's also connected to this thing. So here we have Jesus talking about the gates of hell will not prevail against you, talking about the god Pan, Paneas, and Hermes here. And over here in CERN, we got this, the big thing that people are associating with the abyss and opening the abyss and opening up the gates of hell. And it's also associated with Pan. So you see where I'm going. So the connection I'm making is that it's a modern-day connection to even the modern Christians, that even though they have plans to open up the gates of hell and unleash these things from the abyss, the gates of hell will not prevail against those followers of Christ. This
right.
is what I'm making the crossover from the parable in Matthew 16 to what we're dealing with the opening of the abyss and these portals that they're opening.
Right. And also, you know, as far as like the four angels released from the river Euphrates and also the locust army and Revelation 19, that a lot of that is connected to the wrath of God, and that is poured out on those not written into the books of life and that do not have the protection of the Most High upon them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, it's fascinating to me of just the connecting of what's going on here. Here we got the fallen angels are talking through their veil to their channelers, to those who have given themselves over to all the forbidden things that you're not supposed to give it over to, that's talked about in the Old Testament, about speaking with necromancy and all these other things. The Madame Blavatsky group, the Alice Bailey group, and they're communicating this, just like Tesla did, and Tesla had communicated with this this aspect also, a lot of this technology. And so they got inspired, they had these visions, and they created what they saw. And they were instructed to continue until they fulfilled whatever they're creating for their masters, which are the fallen angels on the other side. They want to open up the portals and bring through the Titans and all that stuff. And that, of course, then that connects us to the whole Saturn thing, and I know that you've had some people on talking about that.
Mm-hmm. I would also make comment, too, that people that have not looked into the Nazi regime and to the technology, even for World War II, like even the V2 rocket and several other things, you know, shooting, using missiles and all, they had a lot of advanced weaponry and a lot of designs for stuff that they used, even in World War II, that was so much far beyond what the other countries of the world had as far as weaponry for wars. We know about the Vimana and that they had working models. There's pictures of that kind of thing, and the links to the Nazi bell and all of that. And so they were definitely in contact with something otherworldly for them to even use stuff that, you know, the designs for the war machines that they were even using in World War II, not even the stuff that was discovered after the war, you know, the diagrams and the research and that kind of thing. And then there's speculation that they established and had set up Antarctic bases, and that a lot of their really high technology stuff was relocated to there, and that, you know, Admiral Byrd and his whole operation high jump and going to south down to the South Pole and all that area, that had to do with chasing down some of that stuff. But
yeah, that's where I started it off at, actually, when I was first writing this book, not knowing that Tony's going to finish his book or that Chris was going to be back involved. I was starting it right at Operation High Jump with the build-up to CERN in the 50s. The reason I peg Operation High Jump as a main jumping-off point is because the Roswell incident had just happened before this and was now being covered up. And then they're rushing off to Antarctica to deal with this missing Nazi component that believe in the hollow earth and went down to, you know, Antarctica and an entrance into establishing a base there. So when I look at Nazi Germany, what I look at when I look at them, I look at they are the first weaponized occult army of the modern age. And that they so outmatched the Russians and the Americans that if all you gotta do is just listen to the stories about the guys who were in the Sherman tanks versus Panzer tanks, or the guys
right,
in the ME-262s. I mean, everybody was sitting ducks. Even the P-51s, if they would have had enough of the ME-262s, couldn't have held up to these a swarm of jet fighters if they had gotten to that point. But this is where I did a lot of research in the Nazi stuff, because I do believe that they are weaponized occult. These guys, what's happening now in America is very similar to what happened to Nazi Germany. What Obama's doing with gun control and all this stuff is what Hitler did with gun control.
Right.
What's going on right now is exactly pre-Nazi Germany, and it's happening here. And, of course, we got the whole Bush family. We know that if you do any research, it's a whole Nazi connection there. Prescott Bush, everything is connected to the Nazi regime and all that. But what's interesting about the Nazis is I believe they are they started off just like with the Catholic Church back then, where they did this patriotic, you know, patriotism like we're seeing on the TV right now, where every other episode on, you know, every talk show you see is some kind of patriotic show, patriotic this, patriotic that. And they're trying to mix Christianity as being patriotic. But then right. what Nazi Germany did is they took the Catholic Church and they pushed forward the Christian nationalistic thing. And then they put the swastika with it, and then they dropped the cross as they progress and just kept the swastika. That's what Obama's trying to do here. He's trying to do the same Nazi model, which is you get the we get us fighting in a patriotic way and then drop the cross out of our history, and then we're just a perpetual war machine like Nazi Germany was. So
right.
That's what I see. And I see the connections. We have a lot more connections here with what's going on with the gates of hell, Matthew 16, and all those kinds of things. But getting back to Operation High Jump, I think that I studied what he's with Shark Hunters, and is Harry something, and I can't remember his last name. But he put out Hitler in South America as a great research book by a bunch of U-boaters who have all kinds of, the Shark Hunters are U-boat crowd, and they're all U-boat buffs, so they know where all the U-boats are and all the missing U-boats at the end of World War II. These guys are still tracking the movements of all these U-boats and their stories and all this kind of stuff. So basically, with Martin Bormann and Hitler, they got him out of Germany into South America, and there's all kinds of documented proof that Hitler died in South America, living out the last of his days there. And then Martin Bormann, basically the biggest bank heist known to mankind, occurred when he took all the assets of Germany with him, gold-wise, and they had what was called the Bormann Group, and he got them put – I think that's what we're dealing with, these multinationals we're dealing with now, are just front shell companies for these – this kind of Bormann Group takeover of the, because Nazism is fascism, and fascism runs off multinational kind of businesses that are they're loyal to the state, but they're not loyal to the citizens. And so this whole multinational thing has a very fascist feel to it, and I think that they're shell companies for these Nazi gold and Rothschilds and all that stuff. But so Operation High Jump, I think the United States got defeated decisively in Operation High Jump. And then you can see the deaths of the Secretary of Defense right after that. And also the Admiral Byrd had a strange death too, because they were trying to warn the American people that there's going to be a threat coming from UFOs, basically. And I think that's when you got the Men in Black cracking down on UFO stuff. I think the Eisenhower administration, when they had that big flyover, it was a demonstration of power over Washington to say, you know, we can pop up here anytime we want to.
Right.
You know, and I think that this is why they started working with the fallen angel Nazi aspect.
Right. Right. I would also
if you look at the CIA that was established by Gehlen after World War II, it's a Nazi front, Operation Paperclip with NASA, Nazi. We just got Nazis all throughout our government, and whenever you put cancer in the human body, you're going to get more cancer. And unfortunately, the United States has succumbed to cancer, in my book.
Right, right. Yeah, they gave they brought in so many more than they even, you know, made the public aware of, even though they were trying to hide all that initially. But there were so many individuals and scattered throughout all these different departments that were brought in, and we only know about those that were, you know, very famous or very predominant. But even like Joseph Mengele with, you know, getting him involved in all like the Montauk experiments and things like that. And then there's so many of these people that have come up with these Illuminati families that talk about some of these Nazi characters and their connections to some of these destructive programs as far as the mind control and this creating multiple personalities through trauma-based, you know, tactics and techniques. And so, yeah, there's a lot that we don't know about from all of that time. And even now, as far as the government and, you know, there's a lot, even Eisenhower and the connections to the fallen angels, the deep underground bases now, individuals like Thomas Costello, Phil Schneider that talked about how there's this relationship. And this is all, again, just so far out there that as far as the regular public, the masses, the sheeple, it sounds so crazy that, you know, it doesn't even sound possible. And yet the reality of the situation is that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but these powers and these principalities. And sometimes it's hard for us to connect it, you know, biblically in that way, but that's what's going on. And now with the whole the History Channel, the ancient aliens, there's this stuff being brought out to the forefront. And in my opinion, all that is being done so because they want to establish these beings as our creators. And rather than lead people to a biblical understanding of the prophetic nature and esoteric nature of what we're dealing with as world, they want to trick them just like as they did with evolution and you know, things like that. They want to trick them into believing that these ancient aliens are our creators, and so much of the, you know, so many people that aren't grounded in the Bible and the understanding as far as the deeper, more profound aspects of it, they are so ready and willing to bow down to these fallen gods.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I follow the superheroes things, because, you know, people might think you're just being silly when you follow this Marvel stuff and all that. But no, you have to look at when Marvel's, the main line being put out to kids today, if you listen to all these shows, is that I'm going to save the world. How many times have you heard that line?
Right, right.
Okay, so what does that mean? That means you're going to be a hero. Okay, well, what was a hero in ancient times? You know, what were heroes
right.
called in ancient
Demigods.
Times?
Demigods, yeah.
They're gods. So right. if they're gods, then we're going back to the garden, aren't we?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm just trying to just string it together and just make it as obvious as possible. Let's see, Redbox released Ant-Man today, and I saw that it totally checked out by everybody instantly, because
right.
they eat this stuff up, you know, they're
yes.
eating up this stuff, it's just, so we're trying to point out that our bodies, we were made in the image of God, we're the image bearers of God, we don't communicate in God in the flesh, we create in God in the spirit. His spirit, our spirit communes. You have to be born again to connect that bridge to become spiritually alive. We're spiritually dead till we accept Christ. And so the wheat and the tares is the separation going on right now. And what they're trying to do is just like the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang story, where you had the child catcher in his little cage with his candies trying to lure the kids into the cage so that they could get powers, okay? And they're doing it with the comic books. They're doing it with the video games. And these kids aren't grounded. Kids aren't grounded in biblical truth.
Right.
Because their parents are being worked to death, and they're not putting in the time educating their children in biblical truth. They're having to rely on these churches to educate them, and it's only for, 1 hour a week? Something like that?
Right. And as far as the deep, again, the deeper, more profound aspects of the scriptures, they're not getting that from the mainstream churches, you know, as far as, they don't even talk about the giants or the fallen angels, you know, or the seed of Cain or any of that. They're just getting the basic Sunday school type of thing, which if you are interested in, you know, because like as far as the Ancient Aliens, they have to go to shows like the History Channel, which completely subvert Christian worldview. As far as like, I saw one, and I did a show on this, where they basically have Lucifer and Satan as the good guy, and how they were talking about how he sacrificed of himself to bring high technology and to give us the comforts of life and living, and the whole thing taught in Masonic secret society that Lucifer as the light bearer, that he, like Prometheus, he gave of himself in order to bring us fire so that we could live a grander and more comfortable life and have access to free will and all that. And so he's portrayed as the good guy, just as these ancient aliens, you know, that they're going to be the saviors of humanity and all of that. And so, yeah, I fully see it.
Yeah, and, you know, and I try to point out to people that the kids are targeted big time. Just what you were talking about there, the Prometheus story, if you go back to the animated movie The Croods, is the Prometheus story, because it says that your base nature, you're a slave but the light bearer illuminated you and brought you from this crude state into this illumination.
Right.
And that
right.
whole movie is to prepare the children for the illuminator. And I also try to talk about, I really, really harp on this big time, this Luciferian mind control, the Luciferian indoctrination. What I mean by Luciferian, that's what these guys who follow Lucifer, who think he's the good gods, these Rothschilds, some of these guys are pure Satanists, and they know
right.
what's up.
Yeah.
The other ones who are duped are think that they're following Lucifer, the positive side of the Lucifer duality, Satan being the negative side, Lucifer being the positive
right.
side of dualism, which is a total fabrication that is a trap. It's a mental trap that Jesus does not have a duality in him. The duality comes from the fallen aspect of sin, iniquity. Iniquity entered Lucifer, and then Lucifer creates this duality between the angel of light and Satan. And you know, but it's all him to begin with.
Right.
So, you know, this Luciferian. What we're going on, what we're dealing with now, my background is a lot of psychology, a lot of therapy, a lot of those. So I understand PTSD. I understand, I dealt a lot with phobias. I dealt a lot with trauma. Well, with the media, what they're doing, the governments, what they're doing, the military, what they're doing, and they are continually keeping a heightened level of trauma on the citizenry. And anybody who knows mental health, you know that you have people who are, the Bible says take care of the feeble-minded. It says that you are responsible to take care of the feeble-minded. All that means is some people are much more susceptible to I call them the circuit breakers in families and society. Too much stress gets on them, and they start decompensating. or having anxiety-related problems. And then they can get into losing, you know, they can get into having psychotic episodes and stuff like that. What they're doing is they're keeping the pressure on, just like the movie V for Vendetta, which is an MK-Ultra mind control, Luciferian mind control movie. That movie with Natalie Portman, where she gets tortured, and of course they shave her head, just like they love to do to these girls, you know, shave their heads. And it's kind of like destroy their identity to give them a new identity. But it's also a way of dissociating them from their old self to a new self. That's why they use the butterfly and the transforming from the worm to the butterfly kind of thing. But it is, you induce enough trauma on people, then they start dissociating or they start breaking down. And what the government wants is they want a certain faction of people in this country to break down and start shooting, because then those won't be the false flags. Those will be people, actually, they have decompensated to a point where they're acting out illegally. And then the media and the government all rush there to tape it all happening, because they didn't create this. The false flags are the ones they create to heighten the anger. So they're waiting till we get to such a stress level where you have this kind of thing. Now, of course, with Obama and these Muslims and all this stuff, this is all to induce fear, trauma, to provoke a reaction so that people overreact and the government overreacts. But again, this is like V for Vendetta, if you look at that movie. He basically says, just like Lucifer said, I'm the good guy. I had to torture you and to break you down so that you could see reality as it really is, not as what you thought it was. And then Natalie Portman, of course, bonds together with him. And this, of course, is the Patty Hearst thing that happened, the Stockholm Syndrome. Now, there's only a certain percentage of the world that will bond with the abuser. And the rest they got to get rid of, because they see through the facade. So this is why you got this massive bloodletting in the end times. Because there's a certain group of people who will never buy this stuff coming from the elites. And they're going to be the terrorists. They're labeled the terrorists because they can think. As long as you can think, you're the enemy. Once you've been traumatized and damaged into bonding with the abuser, that's who they want, and that's who Lucifer wants to deceive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to get rid of those that won't toe the line, the sheeple.
Yeah, they want the sheeple, the ones that are brain damaged. So they'll just go along with whatever's said. The thinkers become the terrorists.
Right. Because follow the others to slaughter.
What was that?
Those that will follow the others to the great slaughter, you know, as far as the sheep and the cattle.
The wine presses of the Bible, right?
Right, right.
Oh, boy. So that's a lot to pack into one show. I mean, I covered some ground there, but I want to just get out what I'm thinking regarding what we're dealing with. And, of course, we have a short amount of time. But going back to the booklet, it does cover the parable, Matthew 16. It does cover the coming Christian persecution, which is a parallel to the first century persecution that came through Nero. And we also include a lot of material on the unicorn connections to this material. So it's not a quantum physics connection that you're hearing when people talk about CERN. The quantum physics aspect, I think Anthony does a super job with that. I just thought that these biblical connections and the gods of CERN really show you the who you're fighting with when you're dealing with this type of technology.
Right. Yeah, so is it already available to to anybody that's interested, or when are you planning on making that available? How would people go about finding it? I mean, do they need to contact you? How would they locate?
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is that Chris is illustrating it right now, and we have she's putting out a video today regarding the booklet, connecting the different aspects of the ancient history with Nero, the 666, the Mark of the Beast, all the connections we have with these parables, these end times events related to these portals opening and these hordes coming out that are the connected to the to dealing with what we're facing, you know. And of course, we completely believe that we believe in this is a spiritual battle, as Ephesians 6 says, and just like you quoted, and wrestling not with flesh and blood.
Right. Right.
And we believe that we have to be grounded biblically. We have to ask for the protection of the angels from the Lord to protect our families, friends, cities, neighborhoods, communities. Pray for the sane people that are in government, that their sanity wins out. The terrors who are dedicated to doing evil, pray that their plans are disrupted and not able to come to fruition. You know, and I believe, of course, prophecy will be fulfilled as is written in the book of Revelation, Daniel, Joel, all the prophetic things we're looking at. Isaiah 17 with Damascus, looks like that's happening right as we're talking. And Ezekiel 38, Psalm 93, all these things are going on right now. And as watchmen, just trying to get people to get saved and to wake up out of this funk that they're in. And I'm trying to connect it to what goes on every day. I mean, the people I run into every day, that I deal with every day, are a younger crowd that's in their 20s. I'm almost 50. And I don't have a problem interacting with them because, you know, when you're not saved, you're not saved. And when you're not saved, you don't do things that you do once you're born again. And
right.
So we get along just fine because I understand the state that they're in. I'd be doing the same thing if I was their age and I wasn't saved, probably.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I connect to the stuff that they're listening to at the time. Like I was talking about Pan the other day, and I said, oh, yeah, there's a music video out by this group called Panic at the Disco that shows Pan in hell. And that, you know, something that they could listen to, that they listen to. It's
uh-huh.
called The Emperor's New Clothes, and it shows the god Pan or the horned god of CERN. And so when I'm talking CERN, and they don't get it, I just point them to, like, a video that they're familiar with.
Right.
And then they get the crossover point. And then they go, wow, that's really dark and evil. Why are they doing it?
Yeah.
and they start waking up. They say, yeah, why is all this evil stuff being just pumped out, you know? It's a crazy amount of evil stuff. And, of course, we have this Star Wars Awakening coming out on the 18th.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is 12/18/2015, which is, you know, 12 is two sixes, 18 is three sixes, and 2015 is you got two sixes, basically. So if you line it up across the board, you just got a bunch of sixes, you know.
Right.
So
yeah,
they put their numbers out there and what they're doing.
Yes, they do. Well, hey, Tim, in the time that's remaining, can you talk about what you see coming? I mean, what are you watching for as a watchman? What are you particularly interested in? Anything of fascination that you want to bring to the listening audience's attention?
Well, I, again, am following the modern brainwashing or the mainstream programming of people through the media. There was a period of time where I had sold all my movies, and I did not watch TV anymore because I wanted to clean my brain out. And, of course, what Zen's been doing with the reading of his stuff, you know, his research is great. But then, you know, the Lord basically said, I need you to kind of use the psychology and the Christian focus in my spirit to pull out some of this stuff and apply it where needed, you know. Not to become just, you know, Siskel and Ebert sitting in a movie theater you know, giving thumbs up or thumbs down to psycho movies. I believe that the Hollywood, I personally think Hollywood is a pedophilia factory, which is the this run by the Sabbatean Franks, if you want to ask me straight up. I mean,
right.
I think they're the Sabbatean Franks. That Jewish community there are the Sabbatean Franks. And everything that they, and the Sabbatean Franks, if you research them, you know that their whole thing was about violating the Bible in every which way possible to force the Messiah to return, which is a very warped kind of a sin to get the God to come back. And I always wondered, always went, okay, so you accomplish your thing by sinning to get him to come back. Don't you see that you're on the wrong side at that point?
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, I'm going, I don't really understand you guys.
Right? Because you're setting yourself up for judgment. And
yeah. So I think that that's what runs the media. It's a network, a closed network between the CIA, the Skull and Bones, the CIA, Hollywood, Sabbatean Franks. I don't think anything good comes out of Hollywood. You can look at any of the supposedly Christian movies, Noah's Ark or any of these things. And when I hear these mainstream pastors giving a thumbs up, I'm going, you're just brain damaged. I mean, you got no concept.
What are you watching?
Yeah, what are you watching? I watched, what was it, Gods and Generals, where basically I think Moses ended up belly boarding down the Nile, well, the splitting of the Red Sea with I was going, is he going to surf the wave or what's going to go on here? You know, he's like wiping out in the middle of this thing. I'm going, oh yeah, that's biblical.
Yeah. And then in that, the Noah movie where, you know, he's going to kill his granddaughters and just because they were,
homicidal maniac Noah. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's perfect in his generations, but he's a homicidal maniac, you know. And this is just the God mockers, okay? And the only reason I watch stuff is because I know they're mocking God. And they're going to have to kneel one day and say why they have been a God mocker to God's face, right to Jesus' face. And it ain't going to be pretty, you know.
Right.
It's not going to be pretty.
I was just going to say, plus you want to know kind of how they're trying to influence the masses, what they are trying to lead everybody into believing, and the kind of thinking that they're trying to, you know, kind of guide and direct. And then with, especially in this new generation that doesn't read, you know, they learn from the visual. They learn from YouTube. You know, they have short attention spans. They're not going to go out and read it for themselves. And so they depend on the TV and YouTube and, you know, Hollywood to shape their minds, which is really sad, but that's the way it is.
Right, and the one group that you can constantly belittle and get away with is the Christian Bible-believing community.
Right.
Just the same way they use this term fundamentalist, and then they're talking about Muslims, and, you know, these are people, the ones they're talking about are killing people. And then they go, all fundamentalists. And they go, what? Well, what are you talking about? Just because I believe in the fundamentals of the Bible, now I'm on the terrorist watch list?
Right.
You know? And it says, yes, that's exactly what we mean. So we always know the Christian community is targeted no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think, you know, we have to do spiritual warfare. And I'm using the abilities that God gave me to deal with this stuff, because I don't practice psychology anymore. I gave up that field because I was disillusioned by it, and I also gave up my archaeology thing because I cannot work in a field that's going to force me to teach evolution, which is the biggest scam. It's the biggest scam going. Now, I'll tell you one thing: why they kept on with evolution for so long, because it was. It's obviously easily proven to be false. And even Darwin said, if you don't have a missing link within 100 years, my theory is false. And so they don't have a missing link. So why did they hang on to this thing for forever? Well, it was to pull you away from God, for one thing.
Yeah.
And if you want to teach in academia, you got to toe the line. If you're going to be a Christian in anthropology or physical anthropology and you don't believe in it, you're not going to get hired and you're not going to move up in tenure. So that's why I just gave up on academia, and because it's a mind control, it's, well, what do you want to call it? It's indoctrination. I'll just say it's one-sided indoctrination. So I did 10 years in academia at the college level, and to say that we're uneducated because we believe what we believe. No, Zen reads. I read. The people who talk about this stuff read. The ones who don't and who laugh and mock, they don't read. They're usually sitting there watching Survivor or these other stupid reality shows, you know, or playing their fantasy league football, one of the two. You know, I didn't hear this in church, so it doesn't. It's not real. Well, it's time to wake up. You know, this is a soul game. This is the last call. This is the last chance you're going to have before they march us into this martial law here in the United States. And then the end of the internet as we know it, with guys like Zen talking and being able to share truth with people, is going to come quickly.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's that peace comes sudden destruction, and all they need is the one domino that they're really looking for to set all things in motion. And yeah, already in this country, you know, with the Constitution and habeas corpus rights, you know, we're under the Patriot Act. All that is dead and gone, and so we are already in, since the supposed war on terror, even though we have wide open borders. We're already in a different era. You know, instead of free speech, you have free speech zones and things like that. And so, and they're just going to step it up more and more. Orwell in 1984 and all that, it's just right around the corner. Those kind of things are already being perpetuated. And martial law. I think I saw something with, you know, the recently with the Paris attacks, that afterwards they sent the police door to door and didn't give anybody, you know, everybody was invaded as far as their privacy. They went door to door whether people wanted to or not. And then after the attacks here in San Bernardino, they did the same thing. And so we don't have any rights. Our rights are whatever they choose to make manifest and uphold. And you know, basically the masses are to be squashed, and it's the system and the state first and foremost, instead of individuals and the public goodwill.
Yeah, I actually came up with a brilliant idea for a movie that, of course, is not going to be made, but to point out the difference between, if you remember, de Tocqueville came from France after the French Revolution to America to see why our revolution worked and theirs didn't. And he came to the conclusion that America was good. They were morally good people. And that's always what's been, when you have a Christian believer who has the Bible and the laws and the ordinances written on their heart, you don't need a police state. They self-regulate, and you can have freedom. Right. And so I thought it would be funny to make a time travel movie with de Tocqueville and beam him forward to America right now, and then see what he says.
Yeah, I'm rolling in his grave, huh? Hey, we've got 90 seconds left, Tim. I want to give you a chance for a final comment. And also mention your website again.
EndTimesMatrixNews.com. We'll be coming out with notices of the book there. Facebook, End Times Matrix News on Facebook. We'll come out with notice of the booklet there. And I think we're trying to make it very visually stimulating, so that you can have anchors with connecting what's going on now in the world with the Bible, these parables and CERN and things like that. So thanks very much, Zen. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, brother. It's a great pleasure. And, anytime you feel led to do a follow-up or if you want to bring out some information, just let me know, and certainly we can line up something. even though, you know, it's not at my regular time or anything. And thank those of you that did make it and were part of the, you know, that made it to the chat room, and those that listened directly. We appreciate you, and I'll be back tomorrow night. Well, actually, I'll be on Revolution Radio. Catch me there, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And know that we appreciate you, and do your own research, everybody. And thanks again, Tim. And anytime you want to do a follow-up on End Times Matrix News as well, brother, just let me know.
Absolutely. Just let your audience ask questions of what they're interested in, and we'll follow it up.
All right, cool, man. Well, have a good night.
All right. Thank you very much, Zen. You have a blessed night. Thank you, and thanks to everybody who listened.
God bless. Good night,
God
all.
God bless you.